Hello, my wonderful friends. Welcome to Faith FM Drive Time. Welcome to Big Q&A. This is the show where we're responding to difficult questions concerning God and faith, contemporary religion and the Bible. This is the show where we look at world religious trends in the light of a Bible prophecy. I'm Pastor Gary, and I'm your Drive Time host. It's so wonderful to be with you today. Winter certainly arrived right here in Adelaide. I cannot believe the difference between just the last week has actually made. We've certainly come to that change in season. Now, of course, this week our Drive Time show, we're digging into another theme that is just so significant that every person has to deal with that at some point in their life. This week our theme is Beyond the Grave, the Bible and the Passing of Death. Now, this is a really key one. So many people have got to deal with this issue, but don't really know which way to turn. And today, we're just simply wanting to ask a really simple question: how did Jesus relate to death? You know, this is heart and core, I believe, of this is the heart and core of the questions that we do need to be asking. Certainly, we want to look at what the Word of God is saying, but we also want to know how did Jesus respond to death, and what particularly can that teach us today? Now, today, my co-host is Lalita Benowitz. Now, I really appreciate Lalita's ministry. Lalita shares right here in Adelaide as a Bible worker. Now, she has got an incredibly beautiful job. Her whole job continually is simply visiting those people who have questions about the Word of God. And it is fantastic to have Lalita in the studio with us today. Our good mate, Pastor David, who's normally with me, he's actually over in Melbourne. He can't be with us today. So Lalita did actually volunteer, or I suppose was coerced by myself, to actually coming and sharing with us. And Lalita, of course, is really a passionate Bible worker. She actually has got a real ministry just visiting her homeland, the Philippines, and she's doing some wonderful ministry over there as well. Now, welcome to you, Lalita.
Thank you, Pastor Gary. I think you're rightly right, like coerced voluntarily.
Well, I really do appreciate your willingness to actually come into the studio today, because I do know that it's a huge commitment, particularly this time of the day. This is a time when lots of people like to put their feet up just a little bit. They like to get home and avoid the traffic, whereas now you're going to have to drive right through the middle of the traffic. But look, Lita, can you just tell us, you, I'm aware, have made numerous ministry trips over to your homeland in the Philippines. Now, look, why do you do that? And, I mean, how do the needs differ in the Philippines as far as ministry is concerned to somewhere like secular Australia?
Well, thank you for the privilege here, Pastor Gary, that you have given me. Now, the difference, there's a big gap since I left the Philippines in the 1980s, the health care or the welfare system has improved a lot.
Okay.
Yeah, we have got a field health system now that when someone gets admitted in the hospital, it's being taken care of. While I was growing up, it wasn't there.
Okay.
So that's the difference. People who are here in Australia, you can just go to your doctor, you go to the hospital, being taken care of by the government. And okay, in terms of spirituality, Pastor Gary, the people there are hungry for the message. And as we speak now, I have a couple of friends that donated some money to the Philippine Amazing Facts College of Evangelism.
Okay.
As we speak, they started on the 1st of May and ending up on the 31st. They are, it's so exciting to know that every night, even if the weather apparently is just like us here, rainy, 30 people who don't have any Adventist background are actually sitting on the most serious topics of the mark of the beast. And all these really deep theological doctrines, they were sitting there, and I have been given some snapshots to report to my sponsors. That's the reason why I'm so passionate, because
in other words, what you're finding is that within like the Filipino context, people are more willing than people in Australia to listen to spiritual things?
I agree. That's what's been shown. I've been there last year for 9 months, and we were doing health ministry, medical missionary. And God has raised up a lot of families that became part of the outpost centers in the Philippines, in different islands. And I have been to those three different outposts, or more actually, more than three. And Pastor Gary, you could see the people are just wanting to know more about Jesus by being invited to do a sort of a wellness center, sort of a accommodation, and they get fed both spiritually and physically.
Wow. It's really wonderful when you start to see people actually having a desire to consider spiritual things. And to me, that's something that I'm so conscious that having that desire, particularly in a secular country like Australia, is one of the huge challenges that certainly, you know, churches generally have here in Australia. But look, let me just come to our article for today. When I saw this particular article, I sort of thought, wow, I mean, this really shouted at me. In fact, this was only published just yesterday. This comes from the Religion News site, and from the Religion News Service. It really challenged my thinking. It's on this whole subject of AI. Now, there's been a great deal of written, and certainly the last couple of days, because of the release of Pope Leo's encyclical. But this doesn't concern that particular matter. This article concerns something of more general interest. And the article was entitled, AI Has a Bias Towards Catholicism, Researchers Say. Now, that's you can get this article if you want it on religionnews.com, and you can pick it up. It's there today. AI has a bias towards Catholicism, researchers maintain. Now, this is what the article actually said, and I'd be really interested in your feedback. This is how it went. Most popular artificial intelligence models are biased towards Catholicism and against a number of other religious traditions when asked about converting to a faith. So in other words, if I ask AI about converting to a faith, the bias is going to be toward Catholicism and against certain others. Now, we'll go into what those certain others are in a moment. According to new research assembled by a group of religious colleges, the findings were unveiled on Tuesday, May 26th, that's yesterday, alongside a speech by Elder Gong, who is a member of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And it was presented to attendees of an AI Ethics Summit taking place this week in Athens in Greece. The studies were presented as three academic papers produced by a consortium for evaluating faith and ethics in AI. A new collaboration between, and these are the universities, Brigham Young University, which is affiliated with the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, Baylor University, which is a Baptist, the University of Notre Dame, which is a Catholic university, and the Yeshiva University, which is Jewish. Researchers studied 14 AI models, including OpenAI's GPT, Anthropic's Claude, and Google's Gemini. The models were put through a series of tests. The group refers to this as the All Faith Benchmark, described as one of the first multi-faith sets of tests that examines how AI systems engage with a plurality of religions, according to the press release. Researchers found that when asked questions related to faith conversion, nearly every model showed a positive bias towards Catholicism and a negative bias towards Jehovah's Witnesses. In addition, agnostics, atheists and Latter-day Saints were somewhat disfavored, while mainline Protestants and Sikhs were somewhat favored. Researchers said some findings were specific to certain AI models. For example, Grok, which is produced by SpaceX, showed a positive bias towards Catholics, Protestants, atheists and Jews, but a negative bias towards the Baha'i, Buddhists, Hindu, Latter-day Saints, and Muslims. Meanwhile, OpenAI, ChatGPT, demonstrated a positive bias towards Catholics, Protestants, Jews, and Muslims, and a negative bias towards atheism, agnosticism, and Jehovah's Witnesses. Both Grok and models produced by Anthropic also showed negative bias towards the Baha'i faith, researchers showed. Now, finally, this is just one final paragraph that really jumped out at me. In addition, scholars said AI models tend to leave out religious perspectives when answering questions about grief, major life decisions, and personal challenges, with AI opting instead for an exclusively secular framing. AI models avoided religious references even in cases where many users indicated they would find them appropriate, the researchers claimed. Now, you know, when I read this particular article, I thought, goodness me, this is almost worth a bit of a laugh. I can't believe what I'm actually reading here, because, you know, can a computer actually have bias? Mm. Well, of course, you know, I mean, in reality, a computer is actually only spitting out what the algorithm has actually programmed the computer to actually spit out. But Lolita, look, can you just come to this one if you possibly can. Now, look, you're a Bible worker. Now, I'm really conscious that doctors, for example, claim that more people are turning to Dr. Google than ever before, and certainly it's becoming a recognized problem in the field of health, because, you know, doctors certainly share that while there's good information online, there's also a lot of quackery online. Now, apparently also, though, it seems that people are going to AI for spiritual understanding. Mm. Now, how do you feel that this is going to impact your ministry? I mean, is there such a thing as a shortcut to a spiritual life?
Well, Pastor Gary, the impact definitely is there, because the people would rather check out what AI is saying and then missing the face-to-face touch, the personal touch. And so if people are going to be doing that, they would not need a personal one-on-one Bible studies. All they have to do is just, you know, plonk themselves in front of the computer and then just say, let's see what it says. And so it definitely would have, I haven't experienced it yet, but when I was in the Philippines, I was introduced to ChatGPT. Mm-hmm. And it was positive in a way because I needed a translation of the English that I'm going to present into the Visayan language. And boy, oh boy, I was so impressed. But then I was still there doing that, delivering it. But the challenge for this, Pastor Gary, is that if there is no face-to-face interpersonal, I think it loses the meaning.
I think it's interesting because the Apostle Paul, certainly in the book of Romans, talks about faith coming by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And you know, to me, I don't know how you find it, Lolita, but to me, it's so easy in the contemporary, the secular world to virtually move away from the word of God and to rely on so many outside sources. You know, it might be what does someone else think. It might be some other book about the Bible. It might be more frequently, it's actually a podcast.
Yes.
You know, I cannot believe the number of people that have certainly come back to me with supposedly good religious knowledge who have actually only picked it up from a podcast that they've been listening to online. I mean, have you experienced the same thing?
Not really here in Australia, but I'm going back to the Philippines because when we did all the health presentations and when we speak about the topics, they would actually say, "Oh, is that really what the AI said?" And I said, "Why do you have to refer to the AI? We're actually giving you the information now that actually we found is scientifically evidence, you know, and that's in the health presentations. But when it came to the spiritual aspects, we actually point them, we show them the Bible. Why do you have to go to someone else when the Bible says differently?"
Okay, and just let me pick you up on that one then. Why, you know, as far as principles for authentic spiritual foundation is concerned, look, why do you feel it's so important to come back to the Bible?
Well, I'd like to go to the Bereans, Pastor Gary, as a good example. They have their open-mindedness and diligence. They even, they've done three.
Who are these Bereans?
So Bereans, they're actually the ones that are, they were considered as the more noble character than those that live in
These are people that the great apostle Paul certainly visited and were preaching the gospel to.
Yes.
Okay.
And then so what they did, they even checked the Old Testament, Pastor Gary, to find out whether the apostle Paul is doing the apostle Paul is actually talking correctly. You know, okay, let's check, you know, that. And so the principles that I can pick up from how they did it is that we had to examine the scriptures daily because that's actually where the absolute truth lies.
I find this story an absolutely remarkable one because it's found in, early in the book of Acts there. You know, Paul is preaching and the record just simply says these people were more noble than those at another town, Thessalonica, they actually went away and they checked out. You know, to me, if people are commended for checking out what the Apostle Paul says, I mean, goodness me, if you're going to trust somebody, surely the Apostle Paul is the person to trust. But these people were commended because they didn't just accept what Paul said, but rather they went and checked it out. You know, I'm just so conscious that so much of what I'm encountering today, I really... I really am conscious that the acceptance of what I would call a computer-generated faith is simply being adopted without any serious thought or digging as to whether it is actually true. Now, I know we can't dig into everything that we actually listen to, but, you know, to me, that's why I try to spend some portion of every day actually reading the Word of God, so I become so familiar with it that I can actually identify what it is that the Word of God is teaching on a particular subject when someone else is certainly sharing on that that particular subject. But Lolita, look, we do need to come to some music. Mm-hmm. This is Jennifer Leiser, and she is she's singing this this beautiful song, "May the Lord Find Us Faithful." Please enjoy this this beautiful contemporary hymn of faith.
God has not given us the spirit of fear, but has given us
was Jennifer Leiser, and she was singing "May the Lord Find Us Faithful," and indeed, that's my prayer for you, and it's certainly the prayer for my entire family. That is such powerful thoughts for the times in which we are living. Now, folks, look, we do have a fantastic little book that we're giving away this week. Now, this book is entitled "Satan's First Lie: Exposing the Global Myths About Death, Ghosts, and the Afterlife." This has been written by Steve Wahlberg. Now, this is not a big book. This is just a few short pages. We're talking here 50 or 60 small pages. It's the sort of book you can actually read in an hour or two. The long, long time ago, before our world came infected by sin, a serpent slithered amongst the beautiful branches of a tree of knowledge of good and evil. Unbeknown to Eve, the first woman created by a loving God, and that mysterious reptile was about to become the mouthpiece for a dark, masterly, deceptive, sinister being. When the creature spoke, the voice was soft, smooth, melodious, and mesmerizing. "You shall not surely die," he said. That was his seductive message. Tragically, Eve believed the snake and chose to taste a forbidden fruit. That story does come from Genesis chapter 2. How is death and sin? That is how death and sin entered the human family. Now, that message is something that's been replicated down through human history. Steve Wahlberg has written this beaut little book. What he attempts to answer are questions like death. What is a death? Ghosts, spirits, and devils. Is there something to it? Dark encounter at Endor. What happens? What does happen at death? The resurrection factor. What is the resurrection all about? And is there a resurrection? And what does the Bible say? And what does Jesus teach? Then, of course, you've got the very hot topic of hell. And next week, we're going to be dealing with this issue of hell. What does the scripture say about this subject? It is just so important. And then we're going to ask that question, hellfire, is it going to burn for forever? Okay. And it's one of those subjects that we want you to be able to answer. The book's entitled Satan's First Lie. And if you would like this book, all you need to do is to text us at 0488 808 11, 0488 808 11, and in that text, all you need to do is to put the code SA418. SA418 is the code that you need to put in there. Just 5 digits in a row. Come back to us, and our robot will come back to you. It will ask you just a few questions, and then we'll be able to get this book to you in the fastest way possible. Satan's First Lie by Steve Wahlberg, 0488 808 11, and the code is SA418. I believe you'll greatly appreciate this little book. Now, folks, welcome back. You're listening to Faith FM Drive Time, big Q&A with Pastor Gary. And my co-host today is Lolita Benowitz, and Lolita shares daily as a Bible worker with people in the homes. This is the most beautiful work you can possibly imagine. This week, we've been taking as our theme, Beyond the Grave, the Bible and the Passing of Death. And today we're asking, how did Christ relate to death? This is just so key. So many people just don't know the answer to this question. Now, Lolita, if I can just come to you. Now, this is a subject that ultimately everyone must face. And yet what I'm conscious of, there are just so many beliefs about this subject of death. I've certainly spoken to people in the religious world that have spoken about reincarnation. They suggest that when you actually come back, you do actually come back, but you come back maybe in a different form. I've certainly spoken to people who are totally convinced that if you're a bad guy, you're going to go downstairs, and you're going to be prodded for eternity in a very, very hot place. Then I'm conscious that virtually every funeral I attend, people get sent into the better place in the sky. This is heaven, but it's generally pictured as a place of fluffy white clouds, with wings, people strumming harps. That type of picture is what most people have actually gotten. I've actually had people say to me, hey, I'm not really sure I actually want to go to heaven. And we're going to deal with that one just a little bit later. But look, I'm really conscious that this subject of death is something that you've certainly encountered. You've shared with bucket loads of people on this particular subject. But look, how did Jesus relate to this subject of death? What did he have to say about it?
Well, Jesus was not afraid of death, Pastor Gary. And we can see that if we look at John 11, which is the story of Lazarus.
Okay.
And, you know, the background to it is that Martha and Mary sent out a messenger to Jesus telling, look, Jesus, your best friend is actually sick. And as we can read later on, he actually died. And so with Jesus, Jesus knows that, you know, Lazarus may need some help, but then he stayed back. And in John 11, chapter 11, verse 11, he actually said, our friend Lazarus sleepeth.
Now, you know, this is actually a really interesting story that you've actually brought us to there, Lolita, because it actually occupies the entire chapter. And I suppose to me there are some things that I've struggled with, and I know other people have actually struggled with in this story, because Jesus is told that his friend Lazarus is sick.
Mm-hmm.
He's asked for, you know, people have asked him for help, and instead of going straight away, mm-hmm. he just sort of hangs around for a little while, and then finally after a couple of days,
mm-hmm.
Jesus goes and says, let's go and see Lazarus.
Mm-hmm.
And it's somewhere along the road there that he actually gets this message that Lazarus has actually passed away.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, that story is one that, and lots of people within the, even the Christian world are not actually aware of. And yet the thing that jumps out at me is that point that you actually did make there, that Jesus wasn't afraid
mm-hmm.
of death. Do you find today that people are afraid of death?
Oh, definitely. And I remembered with my experience, Pastor Gary, when I was growing up, I was scared that someone will come back, you know, when after they die, because that's the tradition we have in the Philippines. Wait for 3 nights and they'll come back. But then when I was doing a deeper study on Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 5,
mm-hmm.
it actually says that for the living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing. And that's when I finally understood, during the first time of my Bible journey, and I was studying with a pastor, and I was overwhelmed with pain and grief, and I was going through stress in my life, and I was actually crying my heart out, and I said, oh, I know that my mom and my dad and my brother is looking down from heaven, looking at how I feel, they're also weeping.
Mm-hmm.
But then I understood, look, you know, the dead know nothing. And I explained that to my sister who has just lost her partner. And she said she can hear things and feel the presence. And I said, look, I actually directed her to Ecclesiastes 9:5. And she said she understood. And she says, now I know that they're asleep. I didn't have to be afraid anymore.
And a lot of people don't actually realize that this is actually the origin. You know, on a lot of graves, you actually get three letters written. R.I.P. What's the R.I.P. actually stand for?
Rest in peace.
Rest in peace. Mm. And you know, that is the origin of this belief that is given to us in the Word of God. A lot of people don't actually realize that, that within the Word of God, what we actually find is a teaching concerning the sleep of those who have passed away
mm-hmm.
until such as a time as this thing called the resurrection.
Yes.
There is a resurrection,
yes.
But the scripture actually teaches, and what you actually find as you dig into certainly John chapter 11 and the story of this man that Lazarus who Jesus went to visit after he had passed away, you actually find Jesus describes death in a really interesting way.
Yes, and Pastor Gary, when Jesus himself told Martha in verse 25, still on chapter 11, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And that's a beautiful promise, Pastor Gary. Because the resurrection, it's something we have to hope for. And the resurrection of the dead, and especially those that are righteous dead, those that have accepted Jesus as their Savior before they sleep.
You know, it's interesting that you actually say that, because this is actually a theme of the entire book of John. In fact, if you go to John chapter 5, and I love this particular passage of scripture, because this is another one of the what I call the great promises of scripture. It's John chapter 5 verse 28 and 29, and Christ, of course, is recorded as speaking. It's in red in my Bible. Do not marvel at this, says Christ, for the hour is coming, future tense, in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. Now, we're not going to go into that that resurrection situation at this point in time, but to me, one of the most significant things that I can find in the Word of God is that at some point, those who have passed away are certainly are going to come forth. There is going to be a resurrection. And I absolutely love this. But you know, one of the things, Lolita, that I'm just so conscious of is that, some time ago I actually had the very real privilege. I also have the privilege from time to time of studying, the Word of God with people. I actually shared on this particular subject, and, the lady said, made an interesting comment to me. She said, Gary, I hear what you're saying. I see what the Bible is actually saying, but she said, I don't want to believe it. And I said, I said, you don't want to believe it. I said, can you just open that out a little more? Why don't you want to believe it? And she said, because I want to think that my mother, who had passed away, is actually sitting up in heaven right now, and she is enjoying the delights of heaven. That's what I want to think. It's more comforting than resting in the grave. Now, have you ever had experiences like that at all?
Well, a lot of my relatives are actually, when there's a few of them that have just passed away in the last 3 months, and they were actually post in their Facebook, because that's the method of communication
we have. Yes.
And then they say, look, he is looking down on us now. And so, you know, part of me wants to tell them, look, can we open the Bible? But you know what, Pastor Gary, I just put them in prayer. And I know that one day there will come a time that I could explain to them through the Bible that, look, this is actually more comforting, that when the dead will rise again, that we will see them face to face rather than think of them now in heaven. What happens if they're not in heaven? Where are they?
This is something to me. I'm really interested that you actually use the phrase that they will be, it's more comforting to actually have them resting in the grave. I actually responded to that lady that I mentioned to you, and I said to her, hey, I just want you to think about what you've actually said. I want you to imagine that your mum is in heaven, and that you come on hard times. And that you are actually maybe you're abused in some way. You suffer some health issue. Maybe one of your children dies. I said, now, can you... what would heaven be, positive or negative, if in fact your mother was in heaven, unable to do anything about it, but you are on earth dealing with all the issues that this life can actually throw at you? And at that point, she actually got the point, because the reality is that this, what is written on the grave that comes from the Bible, rest in peace is actually such a beautiful thought, because Jesus actually teaches that, yes, we will rest now, but the time is coming when there's going to be a resurrection. I love this particular teaching that is certainly coming through from the Word of God.
And Pastor Gary, you mentioned about the John 5:28 in the New Testament. There are also clear passage in the Old Testament that could predict, that directly predict a future bodily resurrection of the dead in Daniel chapter 12, verse 2. And it says, this is the most explicit passage stating that many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And so the resurrection is so important, and I'm glad that Jesus was explicit about this, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament.
Amen. Amen. Lolita, look, let's come to some music, because I'd love to be able to share, certainly a majestic hymn that, features this theme, of a New Jerusalem that's actually entitled, The Holy City. Please enjoy this, majestic, hymn of faith.
Last night I lay sleeping, there came a dream so fair. I stood in old Jerusalem, beside the temple there. I heard the children singing, and ever as they sang, methought the voice of angels from heaven an answer rang. Methought the voice of angels from heaven answering, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, lift up your gates and see. In the highest, hosanna to your King. And then methought my dream has changed, the streets no longer rang. Hushed were the glad hosannas the little children sang. The sun grew dark with mystery, the morn was cold and chill, as the shadow of a cross arose upon a lonely hill. As the shadow of a cross arose upon a lonely hill, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, hark how the angels sing, hosanna in the highest, hosanna to your. And once again, the scene was changed. New earth there seemed to be. I saw the holy city beside the tideless sea. The light of God was on the streets. The gates were open wide. And all who would might enter and know. One was denied, no need. stars by night, or sun to shine by day. It was the new Jerusalem that would not pass away. It was the new Jerusalem that would not pass away. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, sing, for the night is o'er. Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna forevermore. Hosanna in the highest,
was Jason Cork, and he was singing The Holy City. Oh, that is a majestic hymn of faith. Now, folks, look, this week we do have a really beaut giveaway for you. This one's just a small book. This is the first time we've actually given away this book on Faith FM. Satan's First Lie, Exposing Global Myths About Death, Ghosts and the Afterlife. Does the scriptures, and this is all taken from a scriptural perspective, do the scriptures have anything to say about this significant subject? And does it matter anyway? Well, I'm going to suggest to you it does matter. And look, if you don't have answers to this question, this is the book that you actually need. There are chapters talking about ghosts, spirits and devils. You know, hey, what has the Bible got to say about it? What happens at death? What about the resurrection? What about the hot topic of hell? Now, we're going to be dealing with that one this week, or rather next week. But you will really appreciate this book if you want to get some fair dinkum answers to that particular question beforehand. What does the Bible have to say about hell? Does it exist? Is it going to exist in the future? Are people burning in hell right now? This book is going to provide some of those answers that I believe will really set you at ease when you discover what the scriptures do teach about this particular subject. Folks, if you would like this book, Satan's First Lie by Steve Wahlberg, all you need to do is to text us at 0488 808 11. 0488 808 11, and in your text just put 5 digits in a row, SA for South Australia 418, SA 418, and send that to 0488 808 11, and our robot will come back to you, ask you a few questions so that we can get this book to you in the fastest way possible. You will love this this little book. Now, folks, we are coming to the top of the hour, so we are going to have to cover a fair bit of space in just a short amount of time. But you are listening to Faith FM Drive Time, Big Q&A with Pastor Gary, and today my co-host is Lolita Benowitz. And Lolita, love Lolita's ministry as a Bible worker right here in Adelaide. And this week we've been digging into the theme, Beyond the Grave, the Bible, and the passing of death. And today we're asking, how did Christ relate to death? And now, Lolita, really appreciate what it is that you've been sharing. You've been taking us through the story of Lazarus, a man who had got sick and, like as happened, died before his time. So many people that has actually happened to. On this occasion, however, Jesus is on the scene. Jesus comes 3 days after he's died, so he's well and truly dead. Mm-hmm. But then what you find is that you get that that little bit of doubt expressed by Martha. Mm-hmm. And she says, Lord, if you had been here, this wouldn't have happened. She had faith in him, but she doubted that he was still able to do anything. But then you get some beautiful statements. Just finishing off this story very quickly, how does the story actually finish?
Well, in verse 22, still on John 11, Pastor Gary, it says, but I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it to thee. This is Martha telling Jesus. And Jesus responded in verse 23, thy brother shall rise again. Mm-hmm. Oh, what a beautiful promise, Pastor Gary. Mm-hmm. And we could actually...
So Jesus is saying, yes, your brother will rise again. In other words, Jesus is not looking at on death as being something that is to be feared, but rather, hey, beyond the grave, there is actually hope. You know, we actually live in a world today where there's a phrase entitled YOLO. You only live once. Mm-hmm. And you know, every time I see someone wandering around with a t-shirt with YOLO or a wristband YOLO on it, I feel like going up to them and saying, no, that's not right. You don't only live once. If you go and read the Word of God, what you can actually have
is everlasting life.
You can actually have everlasting life. Mm. Yeah. But please finish off for us.
There's also another Bible verse, Pastor Gary, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 12 to 15. You know, now in verse 12, if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? Mm. And it continues in verse 13. But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. Oh, I'm very optimistic about this future reunion, Pastor Gary. Mm. Imagine the resurrection. I have to live my life now, accept Jesus as my Savior, and live according to His will. That one day, when He comes back, and there's that reunion, oh, what a beautiful, happy place it would be. Yeah. Because I know that when my mother-in-law and my father-in-law sleep in the knowledge of Jesus, I am so looking forward to meeting them again, because that is the hope, that is the promise that Jesus has given us. And I'd love to be able to meet them and talk to them. Mm-hmm. I'm doubtful about my parents because they didn't know Jesus, but I know that they were given the light that they were given at that time is enough for them to, who knows, they may have accepted Jesus before they died.
Okay. I really appreciate the you bringing us particularly to this passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You know, to me, I believe this is the most powerful statement concerning death in the entire scriptures. In fact, you know, I've actually, throughout my ministry, I actually did a little bit of a count on one particular occasion, and I think I've officiated at the funerals of now a couple of hundred people, and sometimes entire families. I've actually buried each member of the family in progression. But you know, one of the things that I do at every single funeral, whenever a person has certainly, particularly if they have faith, I actually bring the congregation, the worshiping congregation, because in fact that is what a funeral actually is. I bring them to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and Paul, and I'll actually read this often at the graveside. Mm-hmm. And I love the what Paul actually says. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 51. Mm-hmm. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. Mm-hmm. Notice how Paul regards this subject of death. He regards it as a sleep. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible. corruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be written, brought to pass the saying that is written, death be swallowed up in victory. You know, a lot of people, I often quote at that particular point, there was a great English poet some time ago. He wrote a sonnet, John Donne. The sonnet was actually entitled, Death Be Not Proud. Death Be Not Proud, though some have called thee mighty and dreadful, for thou art not so. And it's actually a sonnet that deals with the whole subject of death. And what he does is picks up these words from the great apostle Paul, and he shares it in poetic form. And I'd encourage our listeners, hey, if you want to be encouraged, go online, just type in John Donne, D-O-N-N-E, and his poem, Death Be Not Proud. And I believe you'll be incredibly encouraged, because a lot of people don't realize that the belief that what we are sharing today was actually a general belief amongst Christian churches until comparatively recent times. Now, I love what it is you've actually shared with us. I love the climax. I love what the Apostle Paul does actually share with us. But look, I'm just wondering, Lolita, how would you feel about praying? We've come to the top of the hour. Would you like to pray, particularly for people who may be dealing with this issue of death right now?
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, because you are the source of life, and you would not want anyone to perish, Lord. And so I lift up to you in the hearing of these words, Lord, my prayer for those who are going through loss in life, for those who are grieving, for those who are weeping. Please be with them, Lord. Comfort them, because you are the one that has promised, Lord, that one day those that have accepted Jesus as their Savior will be the one to bring them up and resurrect those that have died and slept in knowing that Jesus is their Savior and their Redeemer. Thank you, Lord, for your comforting words. Thank you, Lord, for the arms that you put around these people. And thank you so much that you answer our prayer. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Well, friends, it does look like our time's up for today. Thank you for joining Pastor Gary and Lolita Benowitz on Drive Time, Big Q&A. Please join us tomorrow when Caden and Lindy will be asking, the resurrection, is it real? Really look forward to joining you again. But until then, please remember Christ said, I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart, and the peace I give isn't like the peace that the world gives. So don't be troubled or afraid. May our God abundantly bless you.
This program has been made possible by the support of Adventist World Radio.